So, there's this little scene toward the end of the classic John Wayne Western El Dorado, where four men who have been thrown together by adventure and circumstance are sitting around the sheriff's office after the climactic gunfight, enjoying a moment of peace and camaraderie. A doctor is also in the room, tending to a leg wound received by one of the men during the fight. The doc comments that the wound was made by buckshot. The bemused gaze of three of the men rest on the youngest of the four as it is revealed that one of their own had accidentally shot the sheriff in the leg. The guilty party, named Mississippi, rises red-faced, clears his throat, and announces that he is going for a walk. Bull, the old engine fighter, asks Mississippi if he's going to see a gal. Some good-natured teasing ensues, and as Mississippi pauses to walk out the door, he looks around the sheriff's office and affectionately declares,
"A host of friends. I have a host of friends."
That's how I feel about every guest who has come to this table to share a meal and a conversation. And suddenly, Mississippi's words take on a whole new meaning. I have a host of friends, and for 150 episodes, I've been blessed to be a host of friends. Let's go outside.
You know that feeling like you're running low on everything. Like the car inside your heart won't start, it's out of gasoline.
Let's go outside for a while. Feel the earth under our feet. We'll watch the day turn to night, then a new sunrise and repeat. Ooh. We'll count the stars in the sky till we both get tired and close our eyes and sleep. Yeah, let's go outside.
Chasing tales can be so exhausting.
I've been spending too much time lost inside my own mind. So let's go outside for a while. Feel the earth under our feet. We'll watch the day turn to night, then a new sunrise.
Well, there you are. and you are tuned in to the 150th episode of Redemption's Table. Thank you for coming to the party. I want us to have some fun today. Share a little bit about the background and the motivation I have for producing a podcast with a brand new episode almost every week. Give some insight to how the table has gone through some transformation since 2019. And do all of this in such a way that offers some hope and encouragement, and perhaps that one thing, that one sentence that God has waiting for you to hear and to take to heart in these next few moments. How many of us identify with what the national parks just sang? I've spent too much time wandering around my own mind. Anybody? Or is it just me? Hi, I'm the problem, it's me. A shout out to the national parks, another great song. Thanks Brady, Sydney, Cam, and Megan for granting us permission to share Let's Go Outside. Everybody, go check out their latest album, Eighth Wonder. Now last week I put out a reel on social media encouraging listeners to record their questions and send them in, so that today's episode would reverse the microphone, so to speak, where y'all could be the host and I would be the guest. And I received some great questions from three of the sharpest people I know. So let's get this party started. Who wants to ask the first question?
What's Redemption's Table?
What's Redemption's Table?
What's Redemption's Table?
That is such a good question. The original idea came to me several years ago when I was having lunch with a friend at my favorite beach restaurant, the Back Porch in Destin, Florida. We were fresh from worship, ready to dive into some fried shrimp and smoked tuna dip. Table banter was flopping back and forth like fresh catch of the day, and somewhere in the course of that conversation, I said, "Table of Redemption, party of three." Now, what I meant was, whenever two people or more sit down to a meal gathered in His name, Jesus promised to join them. Go check it out, Matthew 18:20. So at that meal, there was me, my friend, and Jesus. And that idea just took shape. And later on August 6, 2018, I'm driving down the road and the podcast idea struck. I still have the original note recorded on my phone. A different guest sharing lunch at a restaurant of their choosing, having our conversation in a podcast. And the main question asked every week would be, what feeds your heart? I even started a guest list that day, and 7 of my original 10 possible guests have come to the table. And then 8 months later, April 22nd, 2019, the first table episode was set for whosoever wanted to come and hang out.
How has the table changed since you have been doing it in 2019?
Well, we went 62 straight episodes with a different guest, different restaurant, every week, nonstop, Soli Deo Gloria. And 15 of those episodes came after a worldwide lockdown in 2020. Now, only 4 of those first 62 were solo episodes, where I didn't have a guest, it was just me talking. That was never a part of the plan. I didn't want to be a lone voice. I didn't want the mic. I wanted it to be about other people, to highlight their stories. But we couldn't eat out in restaurants, and even though we had Zoom, everyone was scrambling and learning how to adapt what they were already doing and put it into new formats, because we didn't know how long this pandemic would last. It was a time of great uncertainty, and it became extremely difficult to find guests to schedule interviews. So I took a 7-month break, returned in 2021, took another hiatus in 2022 right up until Advent that year, and since then, it's been game on. And the biggest change is I'm constantly on the lookout for guests to bring to the table. Most of the day's conversations are done over Zoom, which is great, but I still love the original idea of sitting across from someone face-to-face, sharing a meal, and then recording our conversation afterwards with all the restaurant ambiance going on around us. It doesn't get any better than that.
Why do you host the podcast?
That's a great question. I ask myself that question all the time, because some days this just seems absolutely nuts. I really have no idea how many listeners are out there. And if you just heard me say that, thank you. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you're listening. But I'm slowly beginning to comprehend what this Unique Table podcast truly is. It has a totally different vibe, a different rhythm than a lot of the other podcast options you could be listening to. I'm not saying it's the only one like it. There are over 3 million podcasts out there with a combined total of 152 million episodes. So the likelihood of you finding this table on your own is astronomical. Not impossible, because you're here. But even the way we promote the table is done in a contemplative way. It's not designed for the fast scroll, and we're also sponsor-free.
Why do you host a podcast?
Oh yeah, thanks for getting me back on track. There are multiple reasons why I keep on hosting. Number one, I do it because I enjoy it. In Irwin McManus's latest book, Mind Shift, he says, "If you want to do what no one else has done before, you must be willing to do what no one is doing. Do the work that no one sees. Do the work so you can look at yourself in the mirror and know you gave it all you had. Do it for yourself, and the audience will take care of itself. When you make a commitment to show up for yourself, you'll be surprised how many people show up for you." And I would add to that something Mark Batterson, pastor of National Community Church, says often: do it for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Number two, I host a podcast because I know the power of a single word or sentence to change someone's life. That happens for me all the time. Someone once said, you read an entire book to discover that one sentence that lands solid in your soul, that resonates with your heart. And third, I do it to share redemptive stories. There's nothing more powerful than to listen to someone's life that by all appearances is disaster after disappointment after discouragement. And then, out of the blue, you catastrophe strikes. J.R.R. Tolkien coined that word and defined it as the sudden, unexpected, joyous turn. It's Old Testament Joseph after 13 years in Egyptian bondage. It's Job after losing everything. It's Jesus rolling into Resurrection Sunday on his gravestone. And those type of events are still happening in people's lives today.
Why do you host a podcast?
I'm glad you asked that, because I do this podcast for you guys to listen to later on in your life. I sometimes share on here some of the things we've seen: Winnie the Pooh chasing butterflies, viewing the total solar eclipse. I do this for Olivia and Indy and Maisie and Max. And I'm hoping one day each of you will discover these episodes and listen and be sparked by wonder and whimsy and all of God's goodness and the most important things to know in life, especially the most important person.
When you don't have a guest and you're just talking, aren't you just preaching? Aren't you preaching?
Well, more like creating. Those solo podcasts that I originally had no intention of doing have become a creative outlet for me. Now, last year I did release 6 episodes that were originally recorded as sermons, a series on one of my favorite books of the Bible, Job, but the majority of these solo episodes originate as a single idea that God lobs into my quirky mind, and I am the first to be amazed at the end result. Because I know where the idea came from. It's not me. It's communicating the most wonderful story of all, about God's love and following Jesus in a very unusual and unique way, with some incredible music shared by singers and songwriters. Same truth, but crafted in a fresh way that could possibly get someone thinking.
Do you have a favorite episode?
Yes, I do. On one of the very first episodes, I had the opportunity to talk to the pastor of the 16th Street Baptist Church in downtown Birmingham. If you know this church's history about the Sunday morning bombing in 1963 that killed four little girls, 16th Street is holy ground to me. And what makes it so is their redemption story as a church. To transform tragedy into forgiveness is phenomenal. So talking with Pastor Dr. Arthur Price was a highlight, and later talking to Carolyn McKinstry, who was present in 16th Street the morning of the bombing. She was with her four friends that day. Those stories are so important, and I'm still humbled by the opportunity I have had to bring them to the table.
Who have been some of your favorite guests?
Everyone I've brought to the table. I have a host of friends, and I count every one of them as exactly that. I was moved last Father's Day when my friend Daniel Johnson came to the table to talk about his father, Doug Johnson. Doug is one of five friends who stood by me in a physical, tangible way during the worst season of my life. I've been blessed to bring the known and the unknown to this table. Every life has a voice that is equally worthy to be heard.
Have you ever recorded an episode at Joe Cheesacias?
No, I can't believe I haven't either. It's at the top of my list for where I want to have a table conversation. Of course, I might just get there and want to eat. Don't even want to talk. I mean, imagine 30 minutes of just munching chips and salsa.
Cool, Papa. What's your favorite Joe Cheesacias food? I really like cheese nachos.
I'm with you on the cheese nachos, Indy. Of course, I also love the cheese enchiladas and the shredded beef tacos. If we ever had a sponsor, I would want it to be Joe T's.
150 is a lot. Do you think you'll do 200 episodes?
Do you think you would go 220 episodes?
I hope so. I'm really excited about the next 50 episodes. I already have a few guests in the works. Russ Ramsey will be returning to the table to talk more about art. And Courtney Ellis, a pastor from Southern California, is coming to talk about birds.
What do you have planned for the table the rest of the meal?
I have been working on a series of episodes about Jesus' Beatitudes. If I had the opportunity to speak anywhere, any church, any event, any retreat, any small group, to explore the Beatitudes with a host of friends would be my dream project right now. Well, that's probably enough celebrating for one day. I want to say a special word of thanks to our three interviewers today. I know them as the Cool Papa Kids. They know me as Cool Papa. How's that for a grandparent's name? I borrowed it from a great baseball player, Cool Papa Bell. And today's hosts are three of my favorite people in the world, Olivia, Indy, and Maisie. Thank you, guys. Jeremiah's is on me when I see you this summer. Or even better, let's go to Joe T. Garcia's. And thank each of you who continue to tune in week after week, who continue to share episodes with your friends. And if you want to take a moment to write a review on Apple or Spotify, I would love that too. Now, don't go away just yet. There's still some surprises coming. But until next time, let's go outside.
I need a breath of fresh air inside of my lungs. I need the sun through the trees, butterflies and ladybugs. The sound of the breeze racing through the pines. I've spent too much time. I've spent too much time. I need the cool melted air. I need the desert nights. I want time inside of my own mind. So let's go outside.
I've always been wanting to be a guest on the table.
Mark Batterson, Andrew Peterson, Mission House, and Mickey Mouse. Huh?
Do you love feeding animals at the zoo, Cool Papa?
Yes, I do. Although one time I fed the sloths. Didn't leave the zoo until 5 days later. True story. Almost. You want to go to the zoo the next time I visit?
What's a banana slug's favorite food?
Well, you would think they would like bananas, but they just look like bananas. They probably are bananas, as in cuckoo. But they really like munching on leaves and grass and other dead stuff. Some of it really kind of gross.
Oh, yeah!
What's Redemption's Table?